Cincinnati has a plan to supercharge the growth of its urban tree canopy and become one of the first cities in the U.S. to harness the power of something called biochar. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Each spring, NPR and WVXU dedicate a week of stories and conversations about the search for solutions to climate change. Joining me now to talk about biochar and its role as a climate change solution are Cincinnati Parks Director Jason Barron, Cincinnati Park Board Division Manager of Natural Resources Crystal Courtney, Carbon Harvest LLC founder Sam Dunlap, and American Biochar Institute Director of Agricultural Markets Tara Lewandowski. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks so much.
Great to have you. Tara, so help us understand, what is biochar?
Yeah, it's great to be here. So biochar is a charcoal-like substance, and it's produced from a variety of different organic wastes. They could be wood waste, crop waste, or other biomass. And instead of burning that waste all the way to ash, it is heated in a low oxygen environment so that the carbon becomes stable and long lasting.
Okay. And Sam, Tara was just talking a little bit about how it's made. How will it be made here in Cincinnati?
So we are going to be using a kiln produced by Biomass Energy Techniques. They're based out of Missouri. And basically there's a furnace on one side and it's connected to a drum. So the furnace side is called the primary. A portion of the wood chips will go into that, and that's generating the heat that will be used to essentially cook all the wood chips that are coming through the drum.
Now, I read in one of the many fantastic stories we have on WVXE.org about this project that pyrolysis is the technique that's being used. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so got to ask you this, Sam. We talked yesterday about pyrolysis as a form of chemical recycling of plastic. We talked about how the method in that instance creates some pollution. Does this create any pollution using pyrolysis to make biochar?
There is some emissions, but and Tara could speak to this as well. I mean, we already have our air permit from Southwest Ohio Air Quality Agency. It's nearly de minimis is, you know, what the emissions are considered. So it's mainly carbon monoxide is the main thing.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Tara, anything you want to add to that?
Just that the amount of emissions is really going to vary by the pyrolysis production technology. And a lot of that gets factored in, as Sam was saying, when they get permitted.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Jason, talk about the role that Cincinnati Parks is playing in all this and where this biochar project site is going to be located.
Thanks, Lucy. This is super exciting. So at Parks, we always like to be innovative and looking for the next thing. And obviously, one of the things we're most excited about is how to green our community, whether it's street trees, whether it's trees in the forest. And a surprising fact about Parks is that we produce a lot of wood waste, right? So we have a team of folks that are out that are inspecting our trees. You know, trees have dead branches. Trees have branches that break off in a storm. Trees that get sick and we have to take the whole tree down, and that produces this wood waste. Now, normally that wood waste would just be left to decompose, turned into mulch, and it releases that carbon back into the air. But what's really exciting about biochar is we're going to capture that carbon, so we're not going to let it get in the air, but then we're going to turn it into this fuel that's going to help our trees grow faster, right? So what could be better for Cincinnati Parks than hyper activating our trees to grow even faster? Because every time you lose a tree, it's 20 years until you get the kind of shade you used to have. Well, this is going to help those trees grow even faster. And so at Cincinnati Parks, we're really excited to be on the forefront of bringing this technology to the community. About 4 years ago, we got a grant from Bloomberg Philanthropies that got this started. And then since then, we've kind of put together the full plan for how we're going to build the facility, how we're going to buy the equipment, how we're going to bring on a partner like Sam and Carbon Harvest. And we're really excited that we're kind of at the doorstep of it. Yeah. So to answer your question, where is it going to be? It's going to be in Eden Park. So in Eden Park off of Senton Road, we have our Senton Operations Center. Crazy name, right? It's named for the street it's on. But it's our operations center for our entire Eastern division. So we're going to we're renovating that facility. And in that renovation, we're going to expand all the things that happen there. And so we're also going to add this biochar production facility. So we're super excited to be able to bring that in, partner with Sam to run the operations, and then all of our wood waste will fuel this biochar that's going to help us grow our trees quicker.
Yeah. Well, and Crystal, Jason just mentioned you're going to be using this biochar when you're planting trees around the city. Talk more about that, how that process is going to work.
Yeah, so the raw biochar, once produced, will be heading out to great parks of Hamilton County, where they have a farm that produces a lot of manure. So We're going to be mixing that biochar with their manure and creating compost. And then that will be used at about a 20% kind of backfill. So if you think about whenever you dig out a hole for a tree that's being planted, about 20% of what will go back in will be this biochar compost mixture. And so we'll be integrating it both through our planting contractors as well as any plantings that we're doing in-house, and then also extend it to our landscape beds and flower pots throughout the city.
Ah. Well, we are talking about biochar, how Cincinnati plans to produce it, and the role it could play in fighting climate change. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Jason, Crystal, I don't know which one of you wants to answer this, but how are you figuring out which areas of the city will be the focus of planting trees, using this biochar, getting those trees to grow faster than ever?
So really, every 10 years, we do an urban tree canopy assessment. So our last iteration was done in 2020. That gave us essentially a roadmap for planting. And so we have canopy goals per neighborhood. So residential areas, we're seeking 40%. That mixed-use industrial areas, we're seeking 25, and then in our downtown, we're seeking 10. So we have about 20 neighborhoods throughout the city that are currently below their canopy goals. So that's really where a lot of our targeted plantings are going, in addition to replacing trees that are removed. But in all, it'll be used in every planting that we do. And so it'll kind of be both targeted as well as just system-wide. Yeah.
Well, and what's really exciting about this is that we're not only producing biochar that we're going to use. So we're going to be able to produce enough biochar that we will be able to fulfill all of our needs for all of our plantings. We're also going to be able to share biochar with our partner in Great Parks Hamilton County. They have a lot of trees. They like their trees to grow fast. But then we're also going to be able to turn around and sell it. And so that's what's great about partnering with Sam, is he's going to be in charge of then selling that excess biochar that we have, which will then pay for the operations of the whole facility. So the goal is ultimately that it become a revenue stream for the Parks Department to advance our reforestation and our tree planting efforts even further.
Yeah. Well, Sam, how much biochar do you expect to produce? I mean, enough for everybody to use and then sell it? How much is that?
Based on our models now, you know, there's going to be variability and we'll see ultimately, but we're projecting 300 to 500 tons annually. So a lot.
That sounds like a lot. Is there any, like, how many football fields is that? Like, I don't know how to even measure that.
We're estimating about 8 cubic yards per ton. So it's a lot. It's a lot of cubic yards. So a cubic yard is, you know, 3 by 3 by 3. So
yeah,
500 times 8. We're talking a lot of cubic yards. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a lot. And so, Tara, with that much biochar, how much carbon is sequestered with all that?
So the carbon sequestration credits for biochar really depend on the producer and how they're making the biochar as well. A carbon credit is generally 1 metric ton of CO2 that's removed or avoided. And then it is an independent carbon registry verifies per biochar using methodologies and life cycle accounting based on how it's produced and where the feedstock's coming from. So it varies.
Mm, okay. Well, Tara, I don't know if you're the right person to answer this or if somebody in the studio is, but how does biochar help with the growing process? How does it actually supercharge and make these trees and plants grow faster?
Yeah, I can take a stab at that one. So it is very useful in agriculture. And if we think about soils that maybe we learned in high school, we have sand, silt, and clay, right? Well, biochar, because it's highly stable, is almost like adding another aggregate to soil. So, for instance, if you have a sandy soil and you're draining really fast and you add a fine particle size biochar, you're changing the texture of that soil and you're allowing it to have different physical properties. So by amending it in this way, we're able to enhance soil structure, reduce compaction and erosion, and really help with water management. The second mechanism that is really impactful is the nutrient efficiency. So biochar has a really high surface area. I think I've heard like a tennis court per gram or something like that, like crazy high. And that surface area all has cation exchange capacity. So all of our cations in the soil are going to be adsorbed to it. And this is going to have less nutrient leaching and improve overall nutrient efficiency. All of that helps plant growth. There can also be benefits with soil acidity. So some biochars can be used for their liming capacity and affect soil pH. And then there's just general benefits on soil health. So because biochar is so porous, it works to create a home, a microsite home for microbes in the soil. Those microbes enhance nutrient cycling, but they're also going to outcompete disease-causing organisms and just create better plant health overall.
And so, Lucy, if you think about that, that's the super scientific version. But think about like a street tree, right? So when you're walking down the street downtown and you have a 4x6 tree well that a tree's in, and that tree grows 20, 30 feet high and has this huge amount. And we all know from school, a tree has as many roots below as it has branches above, right? When you're downtown, it's in that 4x6 well, and it's all crammed in there or reaching way down deep, right? And you think about how dense that soil is, how dense it is with tree roots, and then you think about all the other things that tree has to deal with, whether it's our pets, whether it's us walking over it, whether it's all the salt in the wintertime, all that affects that the quality of that soil. So now think about when we put this biochar in, which is nutrient-rich, which changes the soil composition to allow more water absorption and more water retention, it gives that tree so much more health and ability to grow, not just to stay healthy and stay alive, but then to grow super quick, right? So it's to take all that science and then to think about it in that one tiny example of it, and then now multiply that across our whole city. The impact of this project is really exciting to think about.
Yeah. Courtney, is it especially helpful around here? I mean, we have this soil that is notoriously just clay, you know, there's so much clay. Is it especially helpful locally?
It's actually surprising throughout the city how the soil texture changes. Downtown, it's very, you know, kind of sandy because it's those river bottoms. But in essence, if you take the example that Jason just gave of that small area and you think about versus a forest where you have a lot of detritus that's falling to the ground and breaking down and putting nutrients back in the soil, ultimately, that's the major element that our soils are missing, our nutrients. We're not out fertilizing the right of way. We're not out fertilizing, you know, necessarily even our park spaces. And so this is a way to integrate it into both new plantings and existing areas in order to improve the health. So ultimately, yes, we envision that it will be improving the soil texture, quality, and health of the soil, which then translates right to the canopy.
Yeah. Well, and I think that clay soil that you mentioned, Lucy, is part of the, you know, getting folks involved from the community. You know, all of our yards can be opportunities to add biochar and to help water infiltrate. We can all be doing a service by helping manage stormwater in our own properties. So yeah. Really excited about that as well.
And even beyond that, I'm really interested in digging more into like brownfields and brownfield remediation, mm-hmm. because it also has those properties of pulling kind of toxins out of the soil, or at least, you know, kind of improving soil in that way as well.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple of questions that have come in via email. Steve from Oakley writes, what is the projected line item budget number for the Park District to operate this biochar system? That sounds like a Jason question.
I mean, ultimately, we project that we're going to make more money from selling the biochar and from selling the carbon credits than the biochar than the operations is going to cost. So we're looking at this as an opportunity to, again, generate revenue that will help us grow our efforts to plant trees, to do conservation efforts, to grow our kind of investment in that area.
Mm-hmm. There were some startup costs that the park board that allocated some funding to, mm-hmm. Great Parks allocated some funding to, I think part of the Bloomberg grant covers, mm-hmm. that. What is that, like $1.1 million or something?
Well, all put together? All told, the facility, I think the last time we did, we don't know the final cost yet because we're still in the process of designing the facility, but all told, I believe the startup costs of the capital costs were about $3 million.
Okay.
And we've gathered those together from a lot of different sources in order to build the facility, to get the equipment in, to take care of all that. Mm-hmm. But then once we get it up and running, again, the expectation is that it's going to be revenue positive.
Okay. We also had some startup costs from OES and their revolving loan fund, which we're utilizing to also generate electricity on site. So we also see this beyond revenue generating from both selling of carbon credits and selling of biochar, also saving operational dollars by generating electricity.
So that's a great point. I mentioned how the biochar production facility is going to be on our Sinton operation campus. It turns out that when you heat wood waste at 1,500 degrees, that produces a lot of excess heat. Well, we've bought basically a generator that will take that excess heat and run it through like a boiler, and will then turn that into electricity that will help power that entire facility. And so we're also looking to add solar panels to that facility, but we're hoping that this facility will be on towards carbon neutral as we get it up and running. We'll see how that all turns out. But there's just a lot of aspects to this project that's really exciting.
And just to piggyback on that, that'll help improve the life cycle assessment score that Tara was talking about that's part of that carbon credit calculation. So by using that, you know, heat before it leaves the facility to generate electricity, we're getting more carbon revenue by virtue of doing that.
Yeah.
And OES made that possible.
Yeah, more bang for your biochar buck.
That's
there.
Right.
Well, we got an email from Rich also. Rich emails, they mentioned that several hundred tons of biochar are going to be produced, but what is the ramp to get to that amount? Is it 12 months, 5 years? And is this also going to reduce the amount of fertilizer that will be used? If so, how many tons of fertilizer will be replaced? And, of course, we all know that there have been fertilizer problems with the war in Iran, the Strait of Hormuz, all of that. Anybody have thoughts on that in terms of timeline?
So all of our projections, we tried to project like a slow buildup. You know, we know that as you start any operation, you're going to have hiccups, you're going to have learnings, you're going to have kind of a process to get up to full production. So our projections kind of looked at full implementation in like year three, and we wanted to be super conservative. We were also super conservative on – so we were both conservative on production, but then also conservative on price we'd be able to sell it for. And so we've built a lot of caution into our estimates to make sure that we weren't having rose-colored glasses when it comes to getting involved in this.
Yeah.
On the fertilizer piece, I'll just say that's where the relationship with Great Parks of Hamilton County comes in, that we'll be combining, you know, biochar is not a source of nutrient. It is a repository for those nutrients, so it has to be loaded with them. So that's where the manure from Great Parks comes in. But Crystal, maybe you could speak to fertilizer generally.
Yeah, I think in general, this will be an opportunity for us to analyze that question. Where can we decrease fertilizer, you know, and infiltration in parks? And we don't use a whole lot of it. It's very particular areas that are like event lawns and areas that are programmed heavily. So you kind of have to keep the growth of grass going. But we have had conversations with our horticulturalist and regional managers throughout the park system of where we can start to integrate biochar, even in its raw form, where they are fertilizing as a means to keep that fertilizer on site. So think Washington Park, that grassy area above the parking lot is pretty much all sand. So they have a very hard time keeping nutrients on that site. So they're constantly having to kind of replenish the fertilizer that's going down. So it'll be experimental for sure to begin with.
Yeah. Well, and when we were researching this, we went out to Missouri and we met with a farmer who was using it for some of his stuff. And so I had to be careful speaking about kind of secondhand what I learned. But what he was talking about is, I think, again, I talked about things we learn as a kid, right? We always learned that, you know, you don't want to plant the same type of plant in a field over and over again. But the reality of farming is that's generally what happens, right? You drive up 71 and you're going to see the same stuff along those fields of farms. And so fertilizer, I believe, is what's used to kind of like re-add nutrients back into that, right? Kind of artificially. But then that chemical then stays in that soil. And so this farmer we were talking to was talking about how that porous biochar starts to absorb those chemicals. And so he was saying as he was using it, it was starting to clean the soil and then allow for new nutrients to come into it. So maybe Tara can say if I was totally right or totally wrong, but I believe that's what we learned from him. And he was really enthusiastic about what he was already seeing for his crops. So while we don't lose a lot of fertilizer in Cincinnati Parks, again, part of this is Cincinnati Parks, but a bigger part of this for Cincinnati Parks is being a leader in this industry and getting biochar production happening more and more so that other people can use it and it can have this cascading effect on the quality of our environment and the region as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Tara, do you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah. So the effect with the fertilizer is really going to depend on what the specific system is, what the fertilizers are. I will say in your guys' instance, I'm really excited to hear that you are pre-charging it with the, I think you said composted manure. The synergy with biochar and organic nutrition, like ammonia, is really high. It because it's a cation exchange, it holds it. It allows it to convert to nitrate. It's a great use. And it, because you're holding it in the soil, you're reducing your loss of ammonia, which is also another greenhouse gas. And it's great to conserve that in the soil. So really excited to hear about your project.
Yeah. So how important is biochar in combating climate change? I mean, you all have made it sound almost magical. It sounds like this superpower. What do you think, Courtney? How important is it?
I think what we're
Crystal,
really seeing.
Sorry, I called you by your last name. What do you
I'll
think?
I'll answer to either.
Yeah. She's heard it before.
Yeah.
I think for us in Cincinnati, what we're projected to experience through climate change is increased frequency of very heavy rains at some points of the year, and then also very long droughts and very extreme droughts. And so I think what biochar is really doing for us from a canopy standpoint and from a landscape standpoint is it's giving us a sense of resiliency against those heavy swings, as well as increasing the infiltration rate of our soils. You think about an urban area, and again, back to Washington Park, how many feet pass over that, you know, area, and how compacted those soils are, to the point that rainwater is, it's even hard for it to absorb. So really, I see it as more of a improving our soil improves the health of our entire community through all of these different aspects that we've spoken to today. So I think it'll just continue to transcend.
Yeah. Did you want to add to that, Sam?
I think, you know, I think about some of the environmental degradation we experience as just that vicious cycle of little, you know, death by a thousand cuts. And I like to think of biochar as the virtuous cycle of, you know, by putting it in the ground, we're starting to improve the soil ecosystem, and that has concomitant effects on the plant health. And then it start, you know, the whole system starts to improve over time. So, yeah.
Well, this has been fascinating. I've been talking with Cincinnati Parks Director Jason Barron, Cincinnati Park Board Division Manager of Natural Resources Crystal Courtney, Carbon Harvest LLC founder Sam Dunlap, and American Biochar Institute Director of Agricultural Markets Tara Lewandowski. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.